Good afternoon, beloved. It is good again to be in the house of the Lord, and we're grateful that you've joined us on Word on Wednesday. And what a blessing it is to be able to study God's Word. I pray that today you are ready to receive what the Lord has to say to us through His Word. We're starting a new series entitled Getting to Know God. We're talking basically about the attributes of God, and this first lesson that we're going to be dealing with today is entitled What God Knows About You. Amen. We think we know all there is to know, but about ourselves, and there's so much more that we do not know. And I want to show you what God knows today about you. I want to first of all give thanks to my teaching partner, Minister Perseus Poku, who has been faithfully teaching God's words for a number of weeks in my stead. And I'm grateful for his faithfulness and his obedience to studying to show himself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Those of you who don't know, I was away on these Wednesdays, first of all, for vacation, and then we've been moving and adjusting and all of that stuff. And so I'm just grateful that we had an able teacher in Minister Perseus Poku. So let's give him some kudos when you see him, and tell him, I know he blessed you. Just tell him how he blessed you in many different ways. Okay, let's pray, and we'll jump right into the Word. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you again for this, another opportunity to be let down into the deep treasures of your Word. We pray that your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we pray, oh God, that you give us this day what we need in order to be good soldiers of the cross. We pray, God, that you would help us get to know you just a little bit better through these studies, and we pray your blessing upon that. Use me as you see fit, and we'll be careful to make sure all praise, glory, honor goes to you. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and together every child of God shouted amen and amen. Amen. Listen, we are jumping into this series entitled Getting to Know God. Today we will talk about what God knows about you. We're going to highlight our first verse out of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, verse 13. What we want to talk about during this series is getting to know God, talking literally about the attributes of God. What is God like? And the Bible declares that we can know God. And God wants us to know him. That's a good thing about it. And we cannot trust God unless we first know God. How can we trust in a God that we really don't know? And so we want to get to know God just a little bit better. We want to know what God is like. We love the way Paul put it. He says, I want to know him, know Christ, know God, in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know all about God. I want to know the power that he has, and I want to know him so intimately that I understand the suffering that he had to go through, because it'll help me in the suffering that I have to go through in my own life. And so we love that Paul says that. So the ideal, my brothers and sisters, is what is God really like? Not what they say about him on television, and you know, God is not Morgan Freeman or whoever else, but what is he really like? Not what TV says. So to start us off by getting to know God, I want us to look at that verse that's out of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, that says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare to him whom we must give an account. Everything. I like the way the English Standard Version puts it. It says, all are naked and exposed in the eyes of him who we must give an account to. All everything is open to God's seeing, God's knowing, God's eyes. He sees everything, and nothing in all of creation is hidden from God. I like Psalms 147, verse 5, that says that his understanding has no limits. There are limits to what we understand. There's limits to how we perceive things and how things, what things really are. But when it comes to God, there's no limits to his understanding. These verses, literally, Hebrews 4 and that Psalms 147 literally is talking about the omniscience of God. And that's the ideal of in theology, that God knows everything. There's nothing that God does not know. He knows everything. And that means God is omniscient. He is. He knows. That's a big theological word. That's theology for you, 101, omniscience. God knows everything. There's no question God cannot answer. Hear me, beloved, no problem that confuses him. God is never taken aback or surprised by anything. You can't sneak up on God and suggest, well, God didn't know about this. No, nothing surprises God. Simply because God knows everything already. He's never shocked. He never says, oh, really? I didn't know that was going to happen. No, he knew it. He knew it was going to happen in your life. God knew you would be where you are right now. He knew you would be doing what you're doing right now. He knows what you're going to be doing next week and a couple of days from now. God knows everything from beginning to end. And we'll talk about that as we get into this lesson. He knows everything. What is the scope of his knowledge? First of all, God knows, and this is on your outline, God knows, and let's look at it. God knows on your outline, he knows everything about himself. Yes, God knows everything about himself. Listen, you don't know everything about yourself. I don't care how much you think you do or how you got in touch with yourself. Come on, somebody help me. And you explored who you are and what your zodiac sign is and if you are, an introvert or extrovert or, you know, all this other stuff. I know you know a lot about yourself, but you don't know everything. You write that down somewhere, thing. That means you don't know everything. That's in the common vernacular of today. You don't know thing about yourself. Truth of the matter is, that's why we got so many problems, simply because we don't know everything. And the truth is this, you know, in my own life, I'm constantly surprising myself that there's things that I thought I could do that I really can't do. There are things that I thought I couldn't do, and I found out that I could do them, you know. So I'm learning every day about myself, and so are you. You know, you're learning a lot of stuff about yourself, what you could do, what you can't do, what you thought you could do, what you thought you were good at, but you really wasn't good at. You've seen folk get up, try, say, ooh, I can show sing, and then they try to sing in front of a crowd because they ain't in their bathroom with the good acoustics, amen, and it don't come out. They thought they could sing, but it don't come out with the right, I don't know what it is, tune or tone or melody or whatever. Because we're always learning about ourselves. Listen, God knows himself, and he knows that he can do anything. There is nothing that God cannot do. Look at that verse that's there on the outline. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? The verse goes on to say, so also no one comprehends the thought of God except the spirit of God. Only God knows all about himself. Who can comprehend? Who can know yourself better than you? And that's the ideal about God. Who knows God better than God himself, except the Spirit of God? God knows all about himself. Watch Job, your verse, Job chapter 11, verse 7 and 9 says this. Can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty? In other words, The writer there is saying, who can fully understand the mysteries of God? Can you discover everything? And it's the question, everything about the Almighty? He says, this comprehension, watch what he says in verse number 8, it is higher than the heavens. And the ideal is, what can you do? In other words, who are you? This knowledge of who God is and the mysteries of God is higher than the heavens. And he goes on to ask, so who are you to try to figure all this out or try to get obtain all of this knowledge? It says it's deeper than Sheol. In other words, it's deeper than the underworld, the parts of the spirit world that we don't fully comprehend or understand. It's deep and it's high and deep, deeper than the underworld. And so the ideal is, so who are we? And then this is what he says. This is what it says. The ideal, it says, its measure is longer than the earth. The knowledge of God, who God is longer than the earth, and it's broader than the sea. It's so high, you can't get over. It's so low, you can't get under. It's so wide, you can't get around it. Think about it. The scope of who God is, it's immeasurable. We cannot get our arms around the full scope of Almighty God. Think about the heavens and the stars and all of creation. Think about the atoms and the molecules, and all of this is all of that is the creation of Almighty God. And try to scope that thing, Job was simply suggesting, well, who are you to try to figure all that stuff out? I know you good. I know you're educated. I know you got it going on and all this other stuff. But this whole idea about God, only God knows all about himself. I'm glad there's some stuff we probably ain't gonna understand until we get to the other side. But the truth is, the scope of his knowledge is he knows all about himself. Second thing on your outline, not only does God know about himself, God knows about all of creation. He knows all about creation. He knows everything that he has made. If God made everything, and he did, he knows all about creation. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 21, that after he made stuff, he said it was good. Verse 31, he goes on to say it was very good. He says after he made it all, it was good and very good. Are you listening to me? That's the ideal. It's an amazing statement. God saw everything that he made and it was very good. It was good that he made it. That means every rock, every tree, every blade of grass, help me here somebody, every fish, every bird, every animal, every star, every sand grain on the seashore. Listen, God said it was good. He saw it all and said it was good. Even after he made man, it was very good. Very good. Are you listening to me? He was totally aware of everything that he created, and God knows all about his creation. We're still discovering stuff. Hello, somebody. That it just blows us away, and there's still things that are unpacking and unfolding as we speak about the knowledge of our universe and our world and about creation. But listen, God knows it all, and the Bible says it like this, that he knows it so well that every time even a sparrow falls to the ground, God knows about that sparrow. Matthew chapter 10 verse 29, it says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And if one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father, in other words, they sold for a penny. He says, if one of them falls, even God the Father knows that it fell to the ground. He knows all about his creation. He knows all about everything that he has made. I like the way Psalms 147, it talks about, and I want us to look at that. I want you to look at verse 4 and 5 out of Psalms 147, because I think it's is good to see. It just it blows me away how involved God is in his creation. Watch what it says in verse 4. It's on your outline as verse 4, but I also want you to read verse 5. Watch what it says. I know it's in here somewhere. I'll find it. Psalms 147. It's in the book. Hello, somebody. It's in there. Psalms 147, verse 4 and 5. He says, he determines the number of the stars, and he gives them their name. That's verse 4. He determines the number of stars that are in these solar systems, and he names each and every one of them. Are you listening to me? Watch verse 5. He says, great is our Lord and abundant, watch what he says, in power. His understanding is beyond measure. What a wonderful statement about God. His understanding is beyond measure. Great is the Lord and abundant in power. Listen, he done named these stars. He done put all these stars in the sky. He knows all about creation, so much so that he has named them. And it goes even further, saying that he, even with us, and we'll talk about it, we're his creation, but he has numbered the very hairs on our head. He knows how many hairs we got on our head, and he has named them, or numbered the very hairs. Some of us ain't got a whole lot of hair left. I mean, you know, right around here, K. Ray is getting a little thin. God already knows how many of my follicles are not producing any more hair. Come on, somebody, because he has numbered them. He's numbered. That's how intimately God knows us. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, beloved, God knows all about himself. He knows all about creation, but he also knows all about history. History, write that in that blank there. God knows all about history. He knows the past. I like that Acts chapter 15, verse 18, that said God knows all his works from the beginning of the world. He knows what has happened since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the world, since the world was created. God knows everything about the past, but also he knows everything about the present. That Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on evil and good. The eyes of the Lord presently are everywhere, and he's keeping watch over good and evil. Whatever we see going on in this world right now, at this very moment, God knows. His eyes are ever watching. He never slumbers nor sleep. Are you listening to me? The truth is, God knows about the past. He knows about the present. He also knows the future. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10 on your outline says, I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and the ancient times, things not yet done. He says, I already know from the beginning to the end, from the ancient times to the things that are not yet done, I know it all. He knows everything. And he says, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. I know from the beginning to the end, the past and the present, watch what he says, and every plans that I have made, every purpose that I have ordained is going to come to pass. God knows it's going to be all right. And he says, literally, and what he's saying is this, only I can tell you what's going to happen in the future. So God knows all about history, past, present, and future. He knows everything that has happened. He knows everything that's happening right now. He knows that we were going to be paused in this pandemic. He knew that we were going to be isolated and sheltered in place. He knew that there would be questions and all of this other stuff about what's going on in this world and in the society. God knows everything that has happened, that will happen, and that is happening right now. I hope you hear me today. The truth is, beloved, he knows it all. And not only that, he knows everything that could have happened but didn't happen. And he knows everything, beloved, that can happen but won't happen. Amen, somebody. He knows the scope of history from beginning unto end, from ancient times until today, from the very beginning. He knows all of history. But so that's the scope of God's knowledge. He knows all about himself, he knows all about creation, and he knows all about history. What does God know about me? Listen, this is good stuff right here, because Psalms 139, just when if you read it in its entirety, it just blows me away about how intimately God knows us. Look at Psalms 139. I'm going to read it for you, and I'm going to walk through some of it, just a little bit of it, but this just gives you the scope of what God knows about us and how well God knows us. He says, "Oh Lord," this is Psalm of David. He says, you've searched me and you know me. He says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. Watch what he says. He says, you discern my thoughts afar off. You know what I'm thinking. Good God Almighty, God knows what I'm thinking. You searched out my path and my lying down. You know where I'm going. You know when I'm going to bed at night. You're acquainted with all of my ways. This sounds intimately. God knows us in an intimate way. He says, watch this. Even before a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Even before I speak it, God already knows what I'm going to say. This is David. He says, you hear me in, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. You hear me in. This is the ideal that God sets up parameters around our life to hem us in. There's certain places God will allow us to go, certain things that God will allow to happen. He says, you hem me in. There's parameters around my life. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot obtain it. In other words, David is saying, man, this stuff, this, how well you know me just blows my mind. It literally blows my mind how well you know me. He says, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall hold me. If I try to run away, he says, your hand, it will hold me. Oh, help me here, somebody. And he says, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, he says, even in darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. You see me even when I'm crawling around in the dark. Hello, somebody help me, because you see everything. This is what he's saying. If I try to hide myself in darkness, darkness, you can see me, because darkness is light to God. Are you listening to me? He says, you formed me in my inward parts, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. You're the one who formed me, I know. You say it was mama and daddy got together on that special night, come on somebody, where Luther was playing, all that good stuff, or Smokey, or whoever, whatever your groove was back in the day. This is what David said. David said it wasn't Smokey or Luther. It wasn't just mama and daddy. He says, you formed me in my inward parts, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. He said, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I wish somebody would just write in the comment section, God don't make no junk. I know that ain't good English, but that's just the way I'm going to say it. God don't make no junk. Amen. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are the works. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Watch what he says. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book, talking about God's mind, in your book were written every one of them. Every part of his substance, it was written already in the mind of God. The days that were formed for me, those days that you knew I was going to be here on planet Earth, they were already set in motion. This is some tough, this is some This is some deep stuff that David is talking about. He says, yet when there was none of them, you know, you knew all of my days when I wasn't even born. He says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. I would count them, but they are more than the sand. He says, I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with a malicious intent, your enemies. He's talking about the power of God. Although they try to take God out, God knows everything about everyone. You get that? So this song, you read it slowly when you get a chance, and read it in your quiet time to recognize just how intimately God knows us. And so when we read that chapter, I want to just remind us four areas that God knows about us. This is just good stuff for us to help us in our own walk of life. And that is this. First of all, I want you to know that God knows all about our faults and failures. God knows all about my faults and my failures. That's the bad news. And that's Psalm 69, verse 5. My sins, O God, are not hidden from you. You know how foolish I have been. See, a lot of us can't admit that there's some foolish things that we've done in life. Listen, God knows everything about us. The fact is, sometimes we forget about the omniscience of God, because the truth is this, it's a little uncomfortable to know that God knows all about us. It's uncomfortable to realize that there are no secrets from God. God knows everything about us. And there's some stuff, you know, I guess I'd rather God not know, but the truth is, I don't have any secrets that God doesn't know. And guess what? You don't either. I know you think, you know, and concealed it or hid it or whatever, but God knows. He knows all of our faults and failures. And foolishly, when we do something wrong, we try to hide and all this other stuff and sneak them past God and put them in the closet and lock the door. But the truth of the matter is that God knows what's behind the locked door. He knows it all, faults and failures. You all remember when Adam sinned, the first thing that God did, so Adam, where art thou? It wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was. God wanted Adam to know where he was, that he had messed up, that he acknowledged that there was a mess up. God don't ask us, you know, something he already knows. He don't ask us because he's trying to get some information. Where are you, Adam? No. It was for Adam to realize where he was, and God wanted him to know that. But God already knew that Adam had sinned. Remember when Abel was killed, God asked Adam, asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? Now, God knew that Cain had already taken out Abel, but he wanted Cain to admit where he was. Watch Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. Watch this verse. He says, and that's, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. Did you get that? I hope you did. It's right there, because he says a man's ways are in full view of the Lord. Every way that K-Ray has is in full view of Almighty God. And then the text says that he examines the path. Here's what we got to understand, and write this down somewhere on your outline. Listen, we always have an audience. Get that, beloved. There's nothing that we can say off the record. You know, I be watching these criminal shows, you know, and all this, and they say, well, I can talk to you off the record. Listen, I know, I get it, I understand, but the truth of the matter is, there's nothing off the record when it comes to God. God is always watching. We are always on stage, and there are no secret closets that God doesn't know what's behind the closet. Everything we think, everything we see, everything we do, everything we feel, hear me, beloved, God sees it all, and he knows it all. God knows all of my faults. He knows all of my failures. God knows all of it. And he sees it all, knows it all, everything I feel, everything I think, everything that goes on in my my little old head, God knows. That means for some of us, you know, I got some people close to me that have been doing this diet, but God knows when we, you know, when we at midnight, we go to the refrigerator. Come on, somebody help me. We sneak in, you know, ain't nobody gonna know. I'm just gonna grab some, you know, a little bit of this cheesecake. Amen, somebody help me. No, God knows, you know. And then they say, ain't nobody gonna know. I can just cheat a little bit, you know, whatever. No, God knows, God knows. Matter of fact, when we get through cheating, Satan start to tell us the stuff like, you know, just one bite, it ain't gonna hurt you. You can do this, you can, all this stuff, you know. And then afterwards he condemn us. Oh Lord, I shouldn't have done that. And all that stuff, you know, no one ever know. But truth of the matter is God knows. God knows. That's what we got to understand, that we're always on stage and God is always our audience. Come on, somebody help me. That's what, you know, we ask, you know, what if my parents find out? What if the IRS find out? What if my husband or my wife find out? What if my boss finds out? We worry after we do something we ain't got no business. But the truth is we've already been found out. And I'm not trying to put somebody on blast or say, you this bad person. No, all I'm simply saying is that God already knows. Yes, he do. See, and that really, it ought to bring us some comfort that God knows. Here's the fact that I want you to write on there. And this is on the fact there. Here it is, fact, write this. God is not shocked by my sin. He, matter of fact, he saw it coming. He knows my faults and my failures. The fact is, he's not shocked by my sin. God ain't taken aback that we messed up. He saw it coming. He knew that we wasn't going to be able to stand strong in that area or whatever. He knew that. The Bible says that if we have no sin, that's that 1 John 1:8, if we have say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, we run around saying, well, I'm above sin. The only way you're going to be ever above sin is that you live on the bottom floor of a second floor apartment and somebody who's a sinner lives above you. That's how you're going to be above sin. You'll get that on the way home. That means that you live above somebody who was born a sinner just like you. And that's the only way we're going to be above sin. God knows, he saw it coming. He not shocked by it. You know, other folk may be shocked. Oh, Lord, I ain't know. My God, I didn't. No, God, you ain't shocking God. God knows. And so if he knows, he knows why it happened. And he knows he saw it coming. He knew why you ended up in that situation. And he understands our faults and our failures. Praise be to God. So then what is my response if God knows about my sin? If he's not shocked by my sin and he saw it coming, what is my response? And here it is. Write this down. It's on your outline. Just be honest with God. Woo! I just blew your hair back. If God ain't shocked by it, if he saw it coming, just be honest with God. Just admit it. The Bible says that we, if we don't admit it, if we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us, if we're not fooling anybody. Come on, somebody help me. God knows we were wrong. That's what we're saying. God, I was wrong. I messed up. I've sinned against you. Are you listening to me? He knows already about everything. He knows, already knows all the wrong that we've done, but he still loves us. Hello, somebody. Don't ever get it twisted, beloved. If we mess up, praise be to God, we got a God who loves us. That's what this whole coming to earth was all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Behind that, the motive behind God saving us and dying for us on the cross is the fact that he loves us. And what kind of God would we serve if we messed up and God stopped loving us? That's like you trying to stop loving your kids when they mess up. I don't care what they did. I don't care how bad they messed up. You say, well, that's my boy. I still love him. That's my child. I still love. God still loves us, so we might as well be honest with God. Is that all right to say? I hope it is. Because listen, beloved, God knows. He understands. Watch this verse, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. It says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them, watch this, will obtain mercy. What's my point there with that verse? Is that cover up never works, not with God. Now, you may be able to get away with it with folk, but we can't get away with it when it comes to God. Cover up never works. It says, don't conceal it. Don't just confess it to God. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he will remember them no more. Is that all right to say? Yeah, listen, we can't cover up our sins, especially to the one where it counts, and that's to God. So he knows all about my fault. He knows the faults I've had in the past. He knows the faults that I'm going to currently make, and he knows the faults I'm going to have in the future. So we might as well be honest with God. Stop talking about what you ain't did and what you ain't. A lot of times, folk ain't done stuff because they ain't had the opportunity. Just let them have the opportunity. Let $1 million just drop in your lap, and you know it ain't yours. And then you're going to look around and see, well, who in the world? Where did this come from? I know you honest and all that, but you ain't never been tried. Because you'd be thinking, well, who gonna know? No. A lot of stuff we ain't done because we ain't had the opportunity to do it. So we gotta be honest with God where our heart is and then confess what it is. Is that all right? That's the fact. That's the fact, and the response is to be honest with God. Don't cover it up. Here's the second thing that God knows about me. He knows all my faults. He knows all my failures. But secondly, God knows all my feelings and frustrations. God knows all about my feelings and my frustrations. Psalms 31, verse 7, on your outline, it says, you, God, have listened to my troubles and you've seen the crisis in my soul. Get that. God has listened to all of my troubles. He's heard me cry, and he's seen the crisis of my soul. I hope you get that today, beloved, because sometimes we be going through stuff and we think nobody knows. And it seems as if nobody knows what we're going through. And that may be true on this side of eternity. It may be true as it relates to our family and friends, and nobody can understand what I'm dealing with or going through. And you try to voice it to other people and they don't get it either. You ought to be all right. You ought to be this. You ought to be that. And I was just sharing with somebody the other day that, sometimes people are crying out and we're not really listening to them. And I was sharing with someone I apologize because I wasn't really hearing you, what you were talking about. And sometimes we miss it. We miss what people are going through. Watch what God says. I've listened to all your troubles. God says through the psalm, I've seen the crisis of your soul. I love this ideal. He's not talking about just outward stuff. He's talking about inward stuff. This crisis of the soul, this ideal of the pain and suffering and challenges that there are internal stuff that people are going through, that can literally, things can be going well on the outside, but they toe up on the inside. Hear me, beloved. God says, I know the crisis of your soul. And so he knows my feelings. He knows my frustrations. He's seen the crisis that we're in. Psalms 56, verse 6, it says, you know how troubled I am, and you have kept a record of my tears. I like King James. It says, and I think we said that in Bible, not in Bible study, but in staff meeting yesterday, that God keeps our tears in a bottle. He keeps a record of our tears. And he knows there's no hurt, hear me, beloved, that goes unnoticed by God. He sees it all. He sees it all. Listen, and often we talk about this Sunday, you know, that we're feeling very isolated at times and alone at times. There may have been a death in the family. There may be divorce. You may have lost your job. You may have relocated. You don't have friends or anybody, you know, you feel alone. You think nobody understands. Here's the good news. God knows. He knows. And he knows that it can bring frustration. He knows our feelings. He knows our frustrations. So what do we do? What does God feel? What does God think when he knows how we feel? Psalms 103, verse 13 and 14 said, he's like a father to us, tender and sympathetic, for he knows what we're made of. He knows, and it goes on to say, we're made of dust. He knows what we're made of. And so he's like a father. He's sympathetic because he understands. He gets it. He knows that we are individuals that are literally made of dust. And so he's our creator. He knows us. Here's the fact that I want you to write down. And here it is on your outline. Here's the fact. God is sympathetic to my hurts. He really is. Where you're hurting, God is sympathetic to my hurts. Not only does he see, God cares. We're starting a new ministry, chaplaincy ministry, and one of the themes of the chaplaincy ministry is we care. We care. We care. Listen, it is good to know that you can have a church that is going to reach out to you, make sure that you understand how much we care. But listen, beloved, God knows all about our frustrations. And if we want to be like God, we got to show that we care. Listen, the truth of the matter is this, beloved, that God knows what we're going through and he cares about all of our feelings and our frustrations. Listen, beloved, hear me. He knows the causes. He knows the reason behind it. Here's what God knows. He knows the thing that brought you to that point in your life. He knows all of the pain and the struggle and the strife that you had to go through. He sees how it all fits together like a finely woven tapestry of black threads and white threads and purple threads, and how it all comes together. And we can't even fathom sometimes how all of this stuff is working out in our own life. And sometimes we're left feeling a certain way, and we're left feeling frustrated. God knows all of that, and he understands how all of that is being woven together to bring about a certain ending point. He knows. He knows my thoughts. He knows my failures. He knows my feelings. He knows my frustration. He sees the hurt in our heart. Nobody else may see it, but praise be to God. I wish you could shout right there. At least God knows. Woo, help me hear somebody. So we ask the question, what should I do? Psalms 142, verse 3, when I am ready to give up, he knows what I should do. When I'm ready to throw in the towel, God knows what I should do. He knows what I ought to do. So here's my response. The fact is, beloved, on our outline, the fact is God is sympathetic to my hurts. The response is this. If he sees all my hurts, then give it to him. If he sees them all, he's sympathetic to them, then I need to give him all of my fears, all of my frustrations, all of the feelings that I have going on. I need to give it to him. That's why 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says that we ought to cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. Listen, beloved, if nobody else seems to care, whoo, hear me, God cares. He cares for us. And so if he's sympathetic, if he understands, then I need to learn how to give him all of my cares. Give it to him and let him handle them. Let him deal with those things in my life. Does that make sense? I got to give it to him permanently and once and for all. Don't be like some folk who lay our burdens on the altar and then 5 minutes later we pick them back up again. Give them to God. He knows what to do with them. He knows what to do with my feelings. He knows what to do with my frustrations. He knows, and we got to give it to him. Give him the hurts just like we give him our faults and every other area of our life. Number three. You know, not only, beloved, are we talking about God knows about my fears and my frustrations. Not only are we talking about that God, what he know about me, he knows all about my faults and my failures. Listen, God knows all about my future. Write that in that blank. Number three, God knows all about my future. Watch this. Psalms 139, verse 16. The days allotted to me have been recorded in your book before any of them ever began. The days allotted to me. Those days, God knew the span of my days. I was born. Y'all just had a birthday. Woo, help me here, Holy Ghost. I was born September 28, 1965, in the Maricopa County Hospital in Phoenix, Arizona. That was the county hospital for the poor folk. Hello, somebody. You know, you couldn't go to the other hospital. You had to go to the county hospital because you had no money. I was born there. And God knew that I was going to be born in Phoenix, Arizona. He knew I was going to be born in the Maricopa County Hospital, and I would leave there, and we lived in the projects back then. That's what my mama say. I didn't know no better. So all I knew is that I lived in the projects, and my mama took me back to the projects in a couple of days when they kicked her out of the county hospital. I wish somebody would help me. God knew the beginning of my days that were allotted to me, and he knew how much time I had on planet Earth. He knows the span of my days. Guess what, beloved? He knows the span of your days as well. He knows what's going to happen in your life from this point on in your future. God knows all of my future. Watch what he says in Jeremiah. Y'all say this prayer, say this all the time. God said, I got plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. Y'all get that? I got plans for you. Y'all love to hear it say that verse. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. God got plans for me, you know, and to give you hope and a future. And, you know, and that's a good verse. But the reality of it is God knows what is planned for us. Help me, somebody. Circle no. K-N-O-W, no. He knows the plan. He knows the future. Everybody is interested in the future. We all will want to know what the future is and all of that good stuff. He's interested. You got folk trying to use astrology and numerology and horoscopes and reading tea leaves. You know, you shake the tea leaves, throw them on the thing and see how they match up somewhere. And if this over here and that's over there, this will tell you what's going to happen. You got danger coming and all this other stuff. You're consulting with Cleo, Miss Cleo and Dionne Warwick, and I know they ain't on TV no more, but these psychic hotlines tell me what's gonna happen in my future. You know, all that good stuff. You're looking at biorhythms and trying to figure out, you know, the ebb and the flow, the samsara of life, the you know, good and evil, and what's gonna happen. And you got people predicting the outcome of this pandemic. Listen, only God knows what's going to happen, because one thing we got to know is people are going to the wrong source. There's somebody who already know. I don't care how many times you called up Miss Cleo. Hello, somebody. You know, somebody told me before, they said, if Dionne Warwick, I don't know if I should say this, but if Dionne Warwick was such a psychic, how come she didn't know that that bankruptcy was coming in her life? Come on, somebody help me. If she, who? I don't know what I'm sorry, D. But I'm just saying, you know, some of the stuff we just don't know. Are you hearing me? Here's the fact. God sees my tomorrow today. Hello, somebody. He already sees the things that I'm going to face in my future. Come on, somebody. He knows my future. That's the fact. God sees my tomorrow. He sees it today. God is not limited to time or space. Hear me, beloved. It's like a Goodyear blimp that can rise above a parade and see the parade from the beginning to the end. God is like that. From his perspective, God sees everything from beginning until end. Past, present, and future all at once. He sees all of my tomorrows today. That's fact. Hello, somebody. And that ought to give me great confidence. Hello, somebody. It ought to give me great confidence and comfort knowing that he knows everything that's going to happen in my life. Not only does he know my future, not only does he know my feelings and my frustration and my faults and my failures, God knows what's going to happen. He is already, watch this, prepared for everything that I'm going to face tomorrow, next week, and next month. He's already, God is already, he knows what's going to happen. So he's already prepared for everything. He knows how to advise me, know what to tell me. He knows what I'm going to listen to and what I'm going to hear. It may surprise me, but it's not going to surprise God. Hello, somebody. The crisis that I'm going to experience, or you may experience next month, next week, next day, God already knows. And, you know, he knows what's going to happen. And we may be asking, where is God? Guess what? God is right there. Help me hear somebody. He's been there all along preparing. He knows the future, and he is in the future. He is prepared for everything that is going to happen. There's nothing. God knew we would be in this pandemic. We wondering, well, how in the world did we get there? And we trying to get the CDC and figure out if it happened in Wuhan, China, and all this other stuff. God knew that. You asked him the wrong questions. God already knew when this was going to happen, how it was going to happen, and we're questioning all of the timing and what's, you know, all the stuff. You're talking about Donald Trump and Barack Obama, and you're talking about the Microsoft guy and all this other conspiracy stuff. Listen, go to the right source. Go to God, because he already knew what was going to happen, and he has prepared us. He has prepared himself, and he's preparing us for what's going to happen. That's why the church had to get in order. That's why the church had to get things straight. That's why the church had to do things right, because we really weren't prepared to really be the church outside of these four walls. God knew that. And so he had to begin to prepare us. He knew it. This is no surprise or shock to God. Are you hearing me? The truth of the matter is, beloved, it surprised us. So what ought my response be on this one? My response be this. If God knows that all of my tomorrow's today, then I should ask for advice. If you know what's going to happen, you know what? I think I'm going to just stop here. How much time I've been on this clock? What I got? Yeah, I'm going to stop here, and we'll pick this back up next week. Praise be to God. Use the same outline, come back. We're going to sum it all up and come back next week. Watch this. My response is this. If I know that God knows all my tomorrows, then watch this. I should ask for advice. If he knows what's going to happen, and he does, I should ask for advice. Watch what Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says. He says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Watch this, that you do not know. Call me. Just call unto me. Call me. Hello, somebody. And I will answer. Watch what he said. And not only will I answer, but I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you previously did not know. You want answers to a lot of this stuff that's going on in our life, in this world? Listen, God knows all about it. And the truth of the matter is, we got to ask him for advice about what to do and how to do it. Call me, because I got some advice for you on how to handle your current situation. That's what God is saying. It's almost like he's driving up a mountain. We're driving up a mountain behind a slow car. And we want to pass that car, but we can't see what's around that curve. Guess what? God can see what's around that curve. All we got to do is ask him. Hello, somebody. He knows. And from God's perspective, he knows everything that is going to happen, so we might as well ask him for his advice. Here's the practical application for this point. I'll give it to you, and I'll be done. Practical application for this one point that God knows all about my future is this. When I get up in the morning and I read my Bible and I pray and I go over my schedule and I say, this is what we ought to pray. Father, you've already seen this day and you know what I'm going to experience. You know every time somebody's going to interrupt me. You know everything that I'm going to face that day. You already know every cranky person I may come in contact with in the office. I ain't talking about our office. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. And you know every cranky person. You know if I'm going to spill coffee on. You know how it's going to upset me and how I'm going to get upset when certain things happen. You know stuff that's going to frustrate me, and you know things that are going to throw me off track. And so you ought to pray like this. Lord, give me the strength to cope with whatever is going to happen today. Give me the strength to cope through whatever challenges, whatever difficulty, whatever blessing, whatever it is. You already know. You've seen it. You've already marked it down somewhere. You already know what's going to happen. So give me the strength. That's practical application. Take it away with you. Pray, Lord, since you know, my husband going to frustrate me, give me the strength to remain calm. You know, if I'm going to get in a traffic jam and folk going to upset me and frustrate me, give me the strength to call on your name and cope with whatever happens in that day. God knows our future. And so we ought to practically go to him and ask God in prayer. Listen, I'm done. Whew, love you all. I got a little excited over this lesson because I'm just grateful to know that there is a God who knows everything. He is an omniscient God. He knows all about K. Ray. And I'm grateful that even though K. Ray don't know all about himself, I serve a God who knows everything. He knows my feelings. He knows my frustrations. He knows my faults and my failures. He knows my future. He knows what's going to happen. And guess what, beloved? The good news is this. He knows all about you as well. And because of that, because God is omniscient, it can bring comfort to my heart and to my soul. Let's pray together. But let me just first tell you, listen, I'll see you Sunday. Tune in on all of our websites and on our website and on our YouTube. And hopefully all of that stuff will be up and running right. And if not, bear with us. We're working on it. Our AV is really working hard to get all that together. So lift them in prayer as they work hard to get all this stuff together. Again, let me just thank you for that birthday celebration. You all came out and hollered at your boy. I appreciate it. Amen. It wasn't just the monetary gifts and all of that stuff, which, you know, was a blessing, but it was the fact that you all encouraged me in such a way that sometimes, you never know, your pastor, you know, we get discouraged and, you know, we chugging along and all this other stuff. But every now and then, you know, stuff like September 28th, when y'all came around that corner, it was just good to see you all, and it encouraged my heart. And I'm so grateful. Woo, I'm grateful that God has called me to pastor such a wonderful people here at the St. Paul Church. All right, God bless. See you Sunday. Be there or be square in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you. We praise your holy and righteous name. Thank you that you are omniscient God. And even as we study these lessons, Lord, we pray you speak to our heart and our mind as it relates to who you are and what role you play in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We'll see you Sunday.